This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A grain deal to help lower global food prices has been renewed. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks so much for joining us. As mentioned, our top story, an agreement allowing Ukraine to export millions of tons of grain through the Black Sea despite the ongoing conflict with Russia has been extended. Our correspondent in Kyiv is James Landale. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I mean, James, if you're coming to this story fresh, what do you need to know about the Black Sea deal? Why was it struck in the first place?
Okay. Ukraine is one of the big world producers of grain. It's a huge breadbasket for the world. And so, of course, when the war began, when Russian forces invaded, the problem was that market, that source of grain and wheat was just switched off. And that has had an absolutely catastrophic impact on global food prices. Now, in the developed world, that just means people pay a bit more for their loaf of bread. But in the developing world, where so many countries are dependent on buying bread and food from outside their country, it had a devastating impact on their economy. So there was a huge global incentive to get a deal, to get that Ukrainian grain out. There's obviously, you know, for the Ukrainian farmers and the Ukrainian economy, they too wanted to be able to get their grain out of the country. So a deal was done where it was brokered by the United Nations and Turkey. They sort of did a deal with the Russians, then they sort of did a deal with the Ukrainians. So there was no negotiation between the two fighting parties. That deal was done last year, which basically allowed some Ukrainian grain to be shipped out of the Black Sea into the world market. But the problem is this: that deal only lasted for 4 months. It had to be renegotiated. So it's every so often it's renegotiated. The Russians have now brought that time down to just 2 months. So every 2 months this comes round. And every time Russia uses it as a point of leverage to try and get a few more things that they want. And what they want is a slight relaxation of Western sanctions that they say are hindering Russia's ability to get grain onto the market. So that's the deal. That's what's been renewed. And so therefore, it's of huge importance to many, many countries around the world.
And what does it mean for global food prices?
Well, what it means is those food prices won't go any higher. In fact, that they will drop a bit as a result of this, because the key thing is a lot of this Ukrainian grain doesn't, you know, it ends up in, you know, European markets and Asian markets. It doesn't all go to, you know, Africa and places like that. But what it does do is just the simple fact, every time a ship of grain leaves Ukraine and gets onto the Black Sea and gets onto the market, that reduces the price for everybody else. And the key problem for the point about this is that it's not just about food prices, it's also about other prices. Because if food prices go up, that adds to global inflation. And global inflation is one of the key economic problems the world is grappling with at the moment. And anything to try and reduce the pressure on global inflation is welcomed by every country around the world.
The BBC's James Lando reporting for us in Kyiv. Thanks so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thanks very much.
Now let's do the numbers. The UK car company that makes James Bond's favourite car, Aston Martin, saw its shares jump by more than 20% after Chinese carmaker Geely said it would double its stake in the company. But another British institution, the Royal Mail, not doing so well. It's reported a £1 billion loss after a year of strikes and poor delivery performance. Let's talk about BT now. It's a telecoms network giant here in the UK, but also a really big employer. And it says it's cutting 40% of its workforce by the end of the decade. Here with me to talk through the details is the BBC's Sean Farrington. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
Sean, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge number, isn't it? When you think about BT, which is this massive communications company in the UK, responsible for so much of our infrastructure, particularly broadband infrastructure. But what the company is saying today, with its 130,000 staff or labour resource, as it calls it, because they're not all staff. Some are contractors carrying out work on contracts that maybe last a few years. They're saying, further down the line, by the end of the decade, there's no way we need anywhere near that level of staff. So instead of 130,000, we're going to be more like 75,000, 80,000.
I mean, Sean, does this say anything about the economy here? Is there a broader context to this?
I think in terms of the economy, it definitely says this is where the world of technology is heading at the minute. And people will have to think there's a bit more added uncertainty to so many jobs now because of technological advancements.
Yeah, definitely a lot of change. Thank you so much. The BBC's Sean Farrington, thanks so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Cheers, Leanna.
If you or anybody you know are doing exams right now, I'm sure you've had the conversation about using or not using ChatGPT for your essays or to study. So how are colleges handling it? Let's have a listen.
I don't use it in like a cheating way. Basically, it's just really useful for proofreading stuff.
I feel like I'm not a student anymore if I'm going to use it. And I think that's, I feel like I'm not learning anything.
But currently, I'm just too scared to because like you can get caught and whatnot. But I do see a lot of my peers using it. So it is a real thing.
The weather is getting better, which means it's exam season here in the UK. And it's the first time students have ChatGPT at their fingertips. So can it be used to cheat? James Fern is a lecturer in exercise physiology at the University of Bath in the southwest of England. He's been looking at how it tackles exam questions.
Multiple choice questions, for example, it will handle those very well. In its current format, ChatGPT really struggles with any of the kind of higher order thinking that we require graduate students demonstrate.
Now James is going to judge how it answers an exam paper.
It looks very clearly written, it looks quite professional in its language, but it's only when you start to scratch beneath the surface, you'll start to see that actually there's not a huge amount of detail. You generally have this pattern of regurgitating the question that you've asked.
So you're not going to get a top grade from handing in an essay written by ChatGPT, but let's get real, people are still going to use it. So will Bath teaching staff try to ban it? Chris Bomfield, who leads the team designing assessments at Bath University, says, actually, no.
This tool is not going away. In order to ensure our students are equipped with the skills they need for the future workplace, but also that our degrees remain current, we're going to have to engage in this in a way that ensures that it works for us rather than being forced to change because of it.
Maybe the best thing to do is teach students how to use AI in a helpful way. In fact, Bath University has already started using it in some assessments. Lecturer Kim Watts says her master's students are using it to try to help them create a marketing plan.
Get students started on things. It won't give them the answers, but it can give them ideas as to what to think, what to do and how to structure their work.
Seeing as I actually did marketing at college, how does it rate one of my marketing plans?
Certainly, the report is well structured and informative, but could benefit from more analysis and depth in certain areas. Additionally, the report could be more concise and focused on the key points.
You know what? I think I would have gotten a better result with that feedback. Anyway, that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ollie Dalbert-Hanson for producing. Joe Stickler on the tech. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.